And he gets it ready for us. You know, today we're going to be, it's like God has kind of orchestrated this entire day. From the songs that, and that's God because God is God and we are not. And from the songs that we sang today, from the word that Pastor brought forth during communion, to every little thing so far, to the little song that Jeff prayed while we were all examining ourselves. There's something that God's trying to get across to us, his church. Because would you guys agree that he wants us to be free? Amen. You know, when we sang that song today, and one of the songs is talking about, "Precious Lord, reveal your heart to me," right? And he's done that. That's what he's done. He's revealed his heart to us, and he's done it through Jesus. Amen? And, you know, one of the things that we're going to talk about today is really the heart of God, and that's forgiveness. That's just the heart of God, and you know, and he's a God that promises. I'm all emotional today. He promises that he will never leave us or forsake us. And the problem is that we're not all that way. But he calls us to be as he is. Amen? But he promises he will never leave us or forsake us. You know, I was at my daughter's soccer game yesterday, and we're driving home, and my boys were acting up in the car, and they were annoying me. And I said, "Listen, I'm going to reach back there and give somebody five across their lip, okay?" And we're driving, and finally, you know, I said, "Boys, I want you to just be quiet back there. I don't want you to say another word." And don't you know how many of you guys have kids? They don't always get it the first time or the second time or the eighth time. You know, so I'm driving along Groom's Road. It's about 8 o'clock at night. Pulled my car over and I said, "Get out." That's right. And I thought I was being clever and doing some good parenting there and laying down the law, you know, and I kicked him out of the car and drove away. And I left Micah and Caleb standing in the parking lot in some random business and started driving home. Now, for all you moms, before you hurt yourself, it was about 30 seconds I turned around and came back, so don't get too worried. But, you know, and I got him back in the car, and it was quiet as a cricket. You could hear him chirping all the way home. Chee-chee, chee-chee in the car, not a word. You know, and so I went through the night, and fine, and Michael was upset. He ran in the house and hid under a blanket. "I can't believe you left me on the side of the road." Right? And, you know, and so I was reassuring him and said, "You know, Dad loves you. I love you very much. And do you really think Dad would, you know, leave you somewhere where you would get injured or something bad would happen to you?" And he said, "No." And I asked Caleb the same thing. And he said, "No." And I asked Maya, because she was upset, "Dad, aren't you going to turn around? Dad, aren't you going to turn around?" I'm like, "No." And you think I should turn around? And usually, if it was anything else, she would say, "Nah, leave him there." Right? But I said, "Should I turn around? Should I turn around?" And she was like, "Yeah." You know, she's all upset. And so I turned around, and Maria was quiet. And I wasn't sure if I was in trouble or not. So I went and got the boys in the car, and we went home, and it was the rest of the night. And I woke up this morning, you know, last night Maria said, "Don't ever do that again." And she was right. And I got thinking this morning when I was driving to church that, you know, that's the opposite of how God is. You know? Because we screw up every day, over and over and over and over. And he promises he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He won't leave you on the side of the road in the cold and the dark. You know? And that's the opposite of how God is. So my encouragement to you guys today is when you are someone who knows God is your Lord, you know Jesus is your Lord, follow him every day. Because when you don't follow him every day and you're not an active participant of doing the word, not that I'm not, but you have times in your life where you're like, "Wait a minute, how did I get over here? How did I get to the place where I'm dropping like..." Now, it's not a big deal as I'm making it up, but the principle, you understand what I'm saying? You get off from where you're supposed to be if you're not an active participant in doing the word. Does that make sense? So I want to encourage you, the word that you hear today, does everybody have a 3x5 card, ushers? All right. I want you to keep a hold of that. Now, we're going to read in our Bibles today, and the title of this message, if I had one, would be "Carefully Follow the Manner of Life." You know, we're going to read here in a second out of 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, and the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's telling him, he says, and Timothy's a young pastor in, I think, Ephesus, and he's having some turmoil in his church. And the Apostle Paul, who, you know, brought Timothy into the faith, is calling, or writing him, he didn't call him. This is not recently this happened. He didn't call him. He didn't text him. He wrote him a letter. and telling him, you know, encouraging him about how to keep the manner of the faith, how to encourage his people in his church. And he wrote the Apostle Paul this letter so they could guard the gospel and so that the Christians in that church and the people that heard it would remain faithful as the world grows worse and worse. Now, wouldn't you guys agree that the world has grown worse and worse? And God calls us to remain faithful. Faithful to what? The word that he's written, that he's given to us. He's called each and every one of us. As the world grows worse and worse, he's called us to remain faithful. And that's what the letter of Timothy, or the Paul writing to Timothy was all about. Encouraging him, saying, do this, stay away from that, go in this area. Watch out for these dudes. Right? And remain faithful, be doing it. So let's look at 2 Timothy as soon as I get there. You guys all hear me? All right? Sounds very loud from here. Where is it? I found it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to read a lot. So we're going to start in verse 1 and read to chapter 4, verse 5. So let's read. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. And I don't have to tell you that this is where we're at right now. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, youth, disobedience to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. You know, in here, in this first few verses, it's talked about people are brutal. And we think about what we see on TV. Think about moms drowning their babies in the bathtub. We think about the murders that we see every day. And that's brutal, amen? We live in a brutal world. But right in here, lumped with brutal, is unforgiving. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. So do you think unforgiveness, if it's lumped in with brutal and slandering, is something that God takes lightly? No, it's not. It's something that God takes very seriously. Okay? Verse 4, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And that's the world that we live in. Amen. Okay? Having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. That's like two cars sitting side by side. You jumping in one, I jump in the other. We're going to have a race. But what I didn't tell you is I told the guys at the manufacturer, don't put an engine in his. Okay? They both have the same form. Amen? But one is lacking what? Power. Okay? And that's how some of us are. When we don't carefully follow the Word of God, we have the form. We have the right things that we say. We know the Christianese. Amen? Right? But we lack the what? Because the power of God shows up when His children, His sons and daughters, step and are doers of the Word. That's when the power of God shows up in our life. It's available all the time, but it's in the doing of the word that creates the power for us to live a victorious life. Amen. And that's what God's called us all to. Okay, so he doesn't want us to have a form of godliness lacking power. He wants us to be actually godly and have power. Amen. Verse 6. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women. And men are gullible too. I don't know how that's in there, but anyway. I didn't write the Bible. God did. Gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as that person and the other person resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifested to all as theirs also was. But, everybody say but.
But.
You said but. But you, I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose of faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. He said, there are some others that have carefully followed the manner of life. Amen? And that's who God wants every single one of us to be. Verse 11, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, with persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord did what? Delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. And I want you guys to get that deep down on the inside of you. All who desire to follow God, to live a godly life, will. He doesn't say it might happen. Could happen to you, one or two people. It's a possibility. No. He said, it's going to happen. You will suffer persecutions. So get ready for it. But what God has promised, and you'll see later on, for those who are entrenched in His Word and who endeavor every day to do it, joy and peace and power will follow you in the midst of a perilous life. Amen? So those who desire, how many of you desire to live godly in Christ Jesus? Okay, realize you will suffer persecution. So don't be surprised. Don't be taken off guard. Be ready when it happens. And it doesn't mean you have to be, you know, looking for a demon around every corner or, you know, waiting for people to start chucking rocks, which it might happen someday. But realize in some form, some manner, in some fashion, you are going to suffer persecution. So be ready and be armed and be a doer of the word. And God promises that He will deliver you out of what? All of it. Amen? Verse 13, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue. Everybody say continue. That means you started something, and what you started in it, you're still doing it. That's what continue means. Okay, continue in it. Doesn't mean start, stop. It means continue in it, a pattern of life, day after day. Continue in it. And that's all of us. Okay, and He's given us the instructions right there. Continue in it. Where am I? Continue in the things which you have learned and be assured of knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture, everybody say all of it.
All of it.
I hold it in my hand.
That's
what He's talking about, what you hold in your hand. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed it. He set it in motion. It's His. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man and woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Everybody say, God wants me to do good works. He's equipped me to do it. Okay? That's you. That's me. Everyone. God wants us to do good works. Verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come, get this part, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Everybody say own desires. Okay, that's their stuff. According to their own reasonings, the things that they want, according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. So if they turn their ears away from the truth, for a while at least, their ears were turned towards the truth. These are people that are walking in the way, that know Jesus as Lord, and at some point along the way, because of the things that they hold dear, life their way, right? Life their way. How many of us got a little bit of life our way? We like to do it, right? Because if they want to do life their way, eventually that perpetual way they live their lives, they've turned their ears away from the truth of God and gone on and said, you know what, I'm going to do it my way, and I'm going to find somebody that will preach the word the way that will line up with the way that I'm living my life. Rather than me aligning my life with the word of God, which is the truth of all truths. Amen? And that's a sad state. That's not where God wants us to be. I heard somebody say one time that so many people, they get into the Bible and they read what they believe instead of believing what they read. Right? And we've all got there. But God says, listen, I wrote it on purpose. I put it together the way I wanted it. Read it and read and believe what you read. Amen? Where was I? Anybody know? Thank you. Verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. No, I didn't want to read that far. Verse 4, right? All right, good thing you're here, Pastor. That's why we love you, man. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Now, that's a lot we read like right there. And that is written to Christian people in a church. Okay? That's written to us to be watchful, to be careful. Okay? In this passage, you know, this passage references a whole bunch of groups of people. And these are folks that the Bible says are going to show up in the end times and in perilous times. Now, would you guys all agree? We're living in the end times right now. And we're living in perilous times right now. Okay? This is where we're talking about right now. And some of the people that have been profiled in this little passage of Scripture are, number one, evil men who look to deceive. That was in chapter 3, verse 13. That these are people that are going to be around, sticking their heads up in the end times, in the perilous times that we live. Evil men that seek to deceive. How many of you ever met some of those? God calls us to be watchful and to be careful. Okay? Christian people who turn away from God and turn away from the truths of God to life their way. How many of you know some of them? Who are on fire for Jesus, and the next thing you know, they're over here, kicking their kids out of the car at night. Right? I'm just saying. Right? You might know somebody like that. Who want life their way. And the last group are Christians who carefully follow the manner of life. That's in chapter 3, verse 10. If you look back there for a second. Okay? Chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life." Okay? And he's commending them. And that's who God wants each and every single one of us every day to be, those who carefully follow the manner of life. And I got to venture a guess that here in the American church, a lot of us, we don't carefully follow the manner of life. We follow it sort of. Yeah, that's a path sort of over there somewhere, right? But God says, carefully follow the manner of life. And here's the reality. The reality of it is that this is God's word. This is the truth that never changes. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one period, question mark, sentence, jot or tittle. I have no idea what either of those are. But God says that none of them will pass away. But the heaven and earth, everything that you know, the things, your ideas, all these things are going to be gone. And God said, this is the truth. Base your life on it. Do it every day. And this, he wrote it. He put it together on purpose. There's, you know, volumes and volumes and volumes of things God could have put in here. Right? You know, the word says that if they just wrote down all the stuff that Jesus did, there wouldn't be enough books, enough libraries to contain all the things that Jesus did. And this is a God who has no beginning and no end. So there's a lot that he could have written. Amen? And he wrote it on purpose. He put it together carefully so that if we would grab it, read it, and do it, and make it our lives, that we would have his results in our lives every day. Right? And this is one of the things every week when we're in the back that, you know, we're not just back there throwing dodgeballs at each other and playing basketball. We're digging into God's word because God wants to grow up every single one of us into daughters and sons who go out into this world and make a difference. Right? That shine the light of Christ, that exhibit his power, and that change people's lives through the power of Jesus Christ that's on the inside of them. Amen? And so he put it together on purpose. And he said it's profitable for rebuke, correction, instruction, and righteousness. So, guys, here's what we need to realize. That this, you know, you ever stand around and think, man, I wonder what God thinks about that. You know, two things. Ask him, he'll tell you. And number two, he's right here. This is what God thinks about everything. There's nowhere you're going to be in life, no, you know, trip you're going to go on, nothing that you're going through that God hasn't spoken about and written in his word and said, listen, if you do it this way, you will have my results. Right? But here's the deal. There is another way. We're allowed to do it that way. Amen? We're allowed to. So, and that other way also has results. So one of the things for us to do as God's daughters and sons, and I tell the youth all the time that when we go and we go to God in prayer, we go to talk to him, you know what God says? Here's what he says when you show up. Just to have a word of conversation with him. He says, son, son, daughter, daughter. That's what he says. And we ask him a question and he gives us an answer. He may guide you right here by his Holy Spirit. He may say, hey, this verse, or here's what I think about that, this circumstance. And it's all profiled in his word. And he says, live it, do it, and you will be overflowing. Those who faithfully and consistently, not perfectly, obviously, but faithfully and consistently are doers of God's word. God promises that they will have peace, joy, and power in the midst of a perilous world that we live in. In the midst of it. Okay? And what is that called? When you have peace, you have joy, and you have power in the midst of circumstance and turmoil and where you should not have any. What's that called? Victory. Success. Joy. It's called freedom. Right? It's called freedom. It's for you to be able to walk into where all hell's breaking loose and you'd be like, right? And people are like, what is wrong with this idiot? Right? that you're all happy on. How many of you guys, everybody ask you, why are you so happy right now? What is your problem? That's just Jesus. He messed me all up for being grumpy. Right? Peace, joy, and power in the midst of a perilous world. So now let's look at this for a minute. Can you hit that first slide for me, Lori? So let's talk. Look at this from the scripture here. Joshua 1:8, it says, study this book of inspiration continuously. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey. Everybody say obey.
Obey.
Obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and have success in all you do. So it doesn't matter what the economy is doing. It doesn't matter what your family's doing. It doesn't matter what the peril is that you're surrounded by every day. The book of God's Word, if you meditate on it, means get in it, think about it, say it over and over to yourself. That's what meditate means. Day in and day out, and observe to do. You will have success and you will prosper in everything that you do. That's called freedom. Amen. And Jesus bought and paid for that. Let's look at another scripture here. Okay? And this is Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. So let me get to that here, so I don't have to keep turning around. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around, and this is from the New Living Translation, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating in it day and night. That means all the time. There's only day and there's only night. That's when we got to do it. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves will never wither, and they prosper in how much? All that they do. Guess what that's called? Freedom. Freedom. Okay, God has provided freedom for each and every single one of us. So again, God's looking for those that will faithfully follow the Word and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And He promises joy and peace in perilous times. Let's look in our Bibles. And I hurry up. In John chapter 14, talking about peace and joy that comes to those who faithfully and continually follow the way. I'm a slow turner. John chapter 14. It's is that right? Yeah, that's right. Let's start in verse 23. So Jesus is answering some folks. Start in verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not the world? In 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. Why is this so thumpy? And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, talking about the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So the peace that God has given us, it's what? It's a gift, right? And he says, because you love me, not because you're afraid of me, not because you don't want me dropping bombs or throwing lightning bolts from heaven. He says, because you love me, you'll do what I say. That's really simple. And that's one of the things that I try and get across to my own kids. You know, if you love me, you'll do what I say. And one of the best things is for a teacher or someone to come up and say, you know, your son or your daughter was doing this, that, or the other thing. And, you know, the reason they're doing that is simply because they have respect and love for their parents. And they're doing the things that their parents have asked them to do, even when mom and dad aren't what? Looking. And that's because of their love. And that's what God wants us to do. If you love us because of your love for me, because if I've reached out in love towards you first, and you love me back, you'll do what I say. You'll do what I say. Okay. Now let's look up here. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. And he says, if we do that, if we love him and we respond in his love by being obedient to what he says, that we will have peace in our heart. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. And again, I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. And one of these days, Pastor, if you can help me figure out how to use eSword, that would be awesome. Because I can't get it. It's messing me up. But anyway, Romans chapter 8. We're talking about having peace, joy, and power in the midst of a perilous life. Let's look at verse 1. Let's try and follow along the best you can. It's up on the screen if you don't have New Living Translation. So now there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, and because you belong to Him, not because you're awesome, it's simply because you belong to Him. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit. Now this is shouting time. Get this. Get this passage of Scripture down on the inside of you, and it'll freak you out. And it'll make you be at peace every day when you walk around. Because we belong to Him, the power of life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. That's good stinking news. That's good news. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fulfilled. Would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. No longer do we have to follow our sinful nature anymore. We can follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to what? But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to what? And what? That's good news. That's either or that God puts out for us every day. He says, pick one. Pick one. I can only empower you to do mine, is what he says. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under control of their sinful nature can never please God. Here's the good news. If you belong to Christ, his power on the inside of you enables you to live life this way. You belong to Christ. You are no longer under the control of your sinful nature. You can do every single thing that God has called you to do. You can be every single thing God has called you to be. Because you are no longer under the control of your sinful nature, but under the control of the Holy Spirit. If you act and do what He tells you to do. If we pick up the Word, we read it and do it every day. Amen? Amen. That's why those who are still under the control of the sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. So they can't help acting a fool because they don't belong to Him. We can help it. Okay, here's what I think God's trying to get across was there's not an excuse anymore for us to walk around acting contrary to who God has made us. Amen. Okay? He wants us to do it consistently every single day. Every day. And he says, here's my life-giving Spirit to enable you and empower you and encourage you and to teach you from the Word every day to do it. Okay? They can't do it without Him. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives where? Right. It lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies. Okay, there's a lot more to read here, but I want you guys to get from that passage is that you have been set free. Amen. Jesus Christ paid for your freedom, and then He handed it over to you. You've been set free. And you've also been empowered by God to walk in a manner every day that will enable you to stay free. Yeah. Right? To stay free every day. Yeah. Okay? And that manner, one of the things that we're going to talk about today is forgiveness and walking in forgiveness every single day. And that's one of the things that God says, walk according to the Spirit. If you walk in this way, if you live a life of forgiveness, you will stay what? Free. I was talking to a young lady not too long ago, and she was sharing with me about some things, and she said, you know, I'm just stuck. I feel like I've been stuck. It's been years. Is it normal for me to be stuck this long? I said, no, it isn't. It's normal for you to be free. But you haven't to this point chosen to forgive those people that wrong you. So you will stay in prison every single day. And those things bind you up every single day. You know, we all go through life and we all have been wounded by people. Amen? And then there's that wound. That's like getting a real cut. And on your arm, there's that wound. But the forgiveness that God offers, and when you give that forgiveness to other people, it's like you're putting salve on that wound. And every day that wound gets smaller and it gets smaller and it gets smaller and it gets smaller. But every day we pick up forgiveness, it's like we're taking that scab and ripping it off again. Oh, darn, there's a wound. And then we start to forgive and we put that salve of forgiveness on that wound and it gets smaller and smaller. But then we choose, then we pick it back up again and we rip that scab off. And every day that you rip off that scab, that wound gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. That's why God says to forgive. But if we consistently live the way God calls us to do and forgive the people around us, pretty soon you'll look down and you'll be like, where was that scar again? And it no longer becomes an injury for you. You may never forget it, ever, and you probably won't. But it stops being an injury for you when you choose to forgive. Amen? It stops being an injury for you. So 2 Timothy here in chapter 3, it says that the world is a perilous place. And then in these last times, people are going to be unloving. They're going to be brutal. They're going to be unforgiving. And did you notice in that passage of Scripture, it didn't specify what kind of people. It just said people. And he's writing to the church. So some of those people might be sitting next to you right now. Some of those people might be part of your family. Okay? But he calls us to be a part of the buck crowd. What's the buck crowd? Those who carefully follow the manner of life. And do life God's way. And he promises again that if we do his life his way, we will have peace and we will have joy and we'll have power in the midst of this perilous days that we live. Now, let me ask you a question. So one of those things that we're talking about is forgiveness. How many of you guys realize that we're supposed to forgive? All right. So let's look at Luke chapter 6. Because we all realize we're supposed to forgive. I'm going to ask you another question in a minute. Luke chapter 6. Now, realize I'm standing here behind the pulpit. I'm holding the Bible, wandering around up here. It doesn't mean that I have this all together. It just means this is what God laid on my heart to share with all you today. So I hope when you came here today, you didn't come expecting to hear from a man or coming expecting to hear from me. Because this is God's service, this is God's word, and this is a message, frankly, that he has for every single one of us. So hopefully when you come to church each week, your prayer should be, God, please let me hear something. Tell me something through that man or that woman, whoever that might be standing behind this pulpit. Hopefully that's your prayer. Let's look at verse 27. It says, love your enemies, the caption in my Bible. It says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. From him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. Verse 33. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. It's easy to be nice to people that are nice to you. God asks you to do things that are extraordinary, that are above the norm. Okay? That's what this whole passage of Scripture is about. Living an extraordinary life that God has created you to live. Verse 34. And if you lend to those who from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. You'll be acting like your Father, in other words. How do we know that? The next part of this verse says, for he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. He's kind. So this passage of Scripture here says for us to love. So I ask you, we all know we're supposed to forgive. And here's what it looks like. Here's what it looks like, according to God. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Don't judge, don't condemn. Be merciful and forgive. Do you realize those things that I just listed off right there, I only listed two don'ts. All the rest were do's. Right? And I think we mistakenly look at God as a God of don'ts. He's a God of do's. He wants you to go do the do's. And if you do all the do's, you're not going to have time to do the don'ts. Right? Just do the do's that you see in the Word every day. Oh, there's a do. I'm going to do it. Right? That should be our attitude when we open the Word every day. And that's the doing of the Word that keeps us free every day. That's the doing. But that's tough. And would you guys all agree that we need the power of God to do that? In Romans chapter 8, it says flat out, there's no way you're going to do this in your own strength without God. There's no way. It ain't going to happen. So rely on God every day. Okay, every day. That's the doing of the word. Doing life God's way keeps us free. Doing life our way sends us back to prison over and over and over. All right, let's look at Matthew chapter 18. How you guys doing?
Good.
You guys getting something out of this today?
Yeah.
Okay, because God put it together for you. And me too. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Talking about faithfully following the manner of life. This is the parable of the unforgiving servant. How many of you guys have read this before? Read it afresh right now and apply it to you. Because so many times we'll read the Bible, at least I do, and I'm like, man, that really applies to so-and-so. I'm so-and-so. You're so-and-so, right? So-and-so is, right? So-and-so is looking through your eyes right now. Verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? No, Peter. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a... Now, whenever you hear this, a parable, this is God saying things to his kids in a different way so they can get it. Okay? Now, I teach remedial math for a living, and there's nothing wrong with the brains of the children that I teach. They just need me to explain math, say it to them in a different way that somebody else said it to them. And that's what a parable is. It's God saying, listen, here's what my kingdom's like. Here's how I operate. Here's how the kingdom of God works. Now let me say it to you in a different way. Because sometimes he would say it to them and they'd be like, right? And they would have to say it again. Jesus said to him, I do not say, verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he was sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, I have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. Released him and forgave him the debt. Again, this is how the kingdom of God works. God is also moved with compassion and forgave you your debt. Verse 28, but that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed 100 denarii, which is a much smaller amount of money for anybody that doesn't know. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they said, man, I'm telling on you. They were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you, to each of you, if you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespass. Okay. Is there any way to go around that? What we just read right there. God wants us to forgive, and He's serious about it. He wants us to walk in perpetual forgiveness. Why? Because Jesus paid a high price so that you could be free, and God expects you to walk in it every day. Okay, that's how the kingdom works. Holding on forgiveness. If you read there, that guy who held on forgiveness against his friend who owed him a little bit of money. What happened to him? He ended up in jail. And that's exactly what happens to each and every one of us when we refuse to forgive. When we refuse, we go back to jail. So now I want to just read a couple of things, and I'm going to show a video to you guys in the last 5 minutes that we have here. And this video is Jeff and Rose Kaufman gave to me, and it's by a guy named, what's the guy's name again? Rob Bell. And he's talking about forgiveness. And when we walk around with unforgiveness every day, that's like us carrying around luggage. That's the name of the video. It's called Luggage. And that unforgiveness is like carrying around luggage every day. And you can't motivate through life. You can't run and jump and do all the things that God calls you to do when you're carrying around that baggage every day. But a lot of times it takes us to just put down the baggage and realize that God has forgiven us much. And how dare we walk around with unforgiveness for 1 second? If God has forgiven us so much, how dare we? Right? How dare we? And it says in John chapter 19, verse 28 and 30, and Jesus is on the cross. Let's look there, John chapter 19. Because Jesus paid a high price so that we could be free and walking in forgiveness every day. I think it's chapter 19. Walking in forgiveness every day keeps us free. Is that right? Pastor Jay? Yes. John chapter 19, let's look at 28. And here's Jesus on the cross. He had been beaten. He'd been spit upon. He'd had his beard pulled out. He'd been punched in the face. He'd had his skin ripped off. He'd been ridiculed. And now he'd been nailed to a cross. And he'd been laying there with people, making fun of him some more and throwing stuff at him and jeering and all this stuff. And he was doing that for a reason. It was your freedom was the reason why he was there. Because we read earlier that a price had to be paid. And you can't pay it. But God said, you know what? I'm going to send my son Jesus to pay it for you so that we could be free. And we can't be free without forgiveness. Verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now what? Accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled. He said, I thirst. Verse 29. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there. And they filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on hyssop and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Jesus said, it's finished. He said, it's complete. Everything that needs to be done for you to be forgiven is done. It's over. And he says, I'm going to go to my Father. And I'm going to sit down. And I'm going to send back another helper who's going to empower you to walk in forgiveness every day. I'm going to give you my ability to walk in forgiveness every day. Why? Because I paid a high price for your freedom, and I want to make sure that you stay there. But he also said, I'm looking for those who will faithfully and carefully follow the manner of life. And one of the ways to do that is to walk in a life of perpetual forgiveness. Can you stick those slides up there for a minute, Lori, please? Okay. Let's go to slide number 10. So here's some things that you need to know. Okay? It's from Hebrews chapter 7. So unlike those other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices every day. They did this for their own sins first and for the sins of other people. But Jesus did this once for all when he offered himself as a sacrifice for people's sins. And Hebrews chapter 9 says the same thing. And verse 26 and 12 and 26 says the same thing. You can go to the next slide. Hebrews chapter 10:10. For God's will was for us to be made holy. You can't be made holy without being made forgiven. Amen? To be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ. When did he do it? He did it one time for who? All. Think about in your heart right now, somebody in your life who's wronged you. It may have been a terrible wrong. I can't tell you how many times in my life I've had different women just come up to me and tell me, listen, this is the first time I've ever told anybody this before, but I was raped or I was abused or this. And I don't know why they come and tell me. Probably the light of Christ, you know. But you know what my advice to them is? You got to forgive. You got to start at the place of forgiveness. Whatever it is, the wrong that's happened to you, Jesus paid the price for your forgiveness. And he commands you as his son and his daughter, stay free. Forgive. He commands us to do it. And you can go to the next slide. And it says, here's what "it is finished" means. It means the cost required to pay for your sin and the sin of the world was paid. The price needed to purchase your ability to live free was met. Jesus paid that price when we were far off. He paid that price when you were his enemy. He went to the cross so you could be free. Once and for all. And he expects us to freely give what we were freely given. And when we carefully follow the way of life, we stay free. Now, I've given each and every single one of you guys a card, and I want you to think about for yourself somebody that you're holding resentment against, that you're not forgiving. And I want you to write their name on it. And I want you to make today the day that you let it go. And I want you to make today that you allow yourself to get out of prison. Because God says you will stay in prison as long as you walk around holding unforgiveness. It doesn't mean that they're right. It doesn't mean that you'll forget what they did. But it means that today's the day you let them off the hook just like Jesus let you off the hook. That means that today's the day that you stop allowing that thing that somebody else did to you to affect you as an injury for 1 second longer. Today's the day that you allow yourself out of prison. This is between you and God and you and that person. And we're going to watch this video, and here's what I want us to do afterwards. I brought these two nasty garbage cans out here because that's what you have in your hand, that part of unforgiveness. And on your way out, I would like people who are in this row, this side over here, when we release the service, I want you to come up and dump that out, dump that card in this box right here. And you got her on this side. Come, everybody come up the middle aisle, dump your stuff, and go on out along the sides. Does that make sense to everybody? And I want you to dump it out and let today be the end. Let it be the end of it. And you may have to say on purpose every day, I pray for so-and-so. I forgive so-and-so. You may have to do that 99 times in a day. But I guarantee you, if you faithfully do that and put it in God's hand, the next day it'll be 98. And the next day it'll be 72. And the next day it'll be 4. And the next day you'll look down and be like, where was that injury again? I'm free. But it starts from you taking a step of faith and being one who perpetually, continually lives and follows the manner of life.
This is why freedom is so central to Jesus' teachings. It's like right at the heart of his message is this simple claim that God has forgiven us of all of our sins, doesn't hold any of our past against us, because none of us have clean hands, do we? I mean, we've all wronged someone, but with Jesus, there's no condemnation. for you to just let it go. I mean, maybe you have to do something. Maybe it's a phone call, an email, or some sort of face-to-face conversation. Or maybe there's just that moment, like, where deep in, like, the very fiber of your being, you just say, I'm not going to carry that around for one more day. And this might be the first step in a long process of letting it go. But we need to forgive, and we need to start today. We need to do it today, now. I mean, forgiving is an action. It's something you do. So may you forgive as you've been forgiven. May you give to others what's been given to you. May you set someone free and find out that it was you. And may you do it today, because you might not have the chance tomorrow.
I really feel, you know, God is really trying to get through to us as his kids. You know, he said, you know, I gave up everything I have. I gave up everything I have so you can be free. And he wants us to forgive each other. And he wants us to walk every day in the freedom that forgiveness provides. You know, and if you've never, can everybody bow their heads and close their eyes? If you've never realized, if you came to church today and you didn't realize that Jesus had gone to the cross to pay for your sins, realize that we all had sins, and that sin comes with a price, and that price is death and separation from God. And that's something that you can't get out of on your own. But God loved you enough to say that someone's going to pay the price, and it's going to be me. And he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. And Jesus sat on the cross and endured all he could do. And all I could think is Jesus going and you know, hour after hour of all this stuff that he went through, thinking, I'm almost there, I'm almost there, I'm almost there. And he saw your face and he said, I'm almost there, I'm almost there. And finally, when the price had been paid for your sin, Jesus said, it's finished, it's over, it's complete, you're free. And he's asking you today to come out of jail, because he's paid the price for your release. And if there's someone here today who's never received Jesus as Lord, you haven't picked up that forgiveness that Jesus paid such a high price for. And he said, if you ask for it, you will receive it. So if there's someone here today and you said, you know what, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life, I've never picked up the forgiveness that Jesus paid for, and I don't want to go another day without it because he paid a high price for it, and I want to be free. And if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, it just takes a simple prayer for you to ask him and for you to come pick up the forgiveness that was paid for. And if you want to make today the day that you receive Jesus and start walking faithfully in the manner of the way, I want you to raise your hand. Stick your hand in the air. And he will come in. All right. Well, I'm not seeing any hands, so I'm trusting that everybody's going to spend eternity in heaven with me. But each of you have a card. And I'm going to sit down in a minute and turn the service back over to Pastor. And if you didn't raise your hand and you want someone to pray with you after, I'll be up here. And I encourage you to write on that card. And this is a vehicle for you, a contact point, a catalyst for you to start letting it go and start living free like God called you to be. I thank you guys for your time.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I have to concur. I believe the Lord's trying to get something through to us today. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? And I'd like to ask the worship team to come. And again, Josh gave you those 3x5 cards. And you know, you don't have to try to dig something up. But if there's somebody, you know there's somebody. It might be somebody standing next to you. It might be somebody that you haven't seen in 20, 30 years. But if there's somebody that you have to release, let this be an opportunity that you can take by faith, as a step of faith, writing that name down and saying, God, I forgive, and leaving that behind Amen. Leaving that behind. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're gonna sow into Josh tonight or today. If you feel so compelled, and again, as I mentioned earlier, there's no pressure at all. We're going to bless him one way or the other. I want to bless him and show appreciation for all the work that he puts into the young people. And, you know, we get a taste, and him coming here and sharing this morning gives you a taste of how he ministers to the young people. And I think that you can see the fruit in the ministry, the youth that are in that ministry. Amen. And you know a man by his fruit, and we see the fruitfulness, we see that which has been produced, and I know that many of you have teenagers and are in that group, and so it's an opportunity, and I know we do, and you do show appreciation, but we just want to give the opportunity here today, and I know there's a lot of things going on. I know we've had Power Team, we've had things, and appreciation to me, which we greatly thank you for, and I know Christmas is coming, but again, there's no pressure at all. You just be whatever or do whatever God might put on your heart to sow into our brother. Amen? Amen. If you're going to give in that offering, there's envelopes ahead of you. You can make it out to AGCC if it's a check. We're going to just count it all up and give it all to him in one check. Makes it easier for him. Amen? And so let's just, as you're preparing that, let me just pray. Let's pray for Josh. Josh, come on up here. Let's pray for him. And he said something in the beginning, you know, that speaking in front of you folks is not scary, but speaking in front of a bunch of teenagers is. I would agree with that. Amen? Amen. And so let's just pray for him and pray for this offering all together. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for our brother. We thank you, Father God, that you have worked a work in him, and you're working a work continually in all of us, Father God. And Father God, I thank you for the anointing, the empowerment, the enablement that you put on Brother Josh, Father God. And Father God, we just want to express to him our love and our appreciation to him for all the effort, all the work he puts in, Father God. And Father, I pray you'd strengthen him. I pray you'd strengthen his family. I pray, Father God, that he and Maria would be strong in their relationship and with those kids, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for just blessing the Hughes family over and beyond what we would imagine or even could even ask, Father God. You do have a way of doing exceedingly abundantly above all we would even ask or think, Father God. And so we pray that for the Hughes family today. And Father God, the sacrifice, the giving up of time, the giving up of energy, Father God, I pray that you would bless this family back, because even the kids and Maria, they go without Josh at times, Father God, because he's ministering to the youth. Father, I pray that their time that they have together would be exceedingly blessed and made up for, because that's just the way you are, Father God. We thank you, Father, for just him and his heart and his love, and we thank you for just increasing him in every way, Father God, and we give you praise. And as we give today, those of us that feel led to do so, Father God, I pray that you multiply this seed to every giver today, Father God. I pray, Father God, that you would bless every giver, and I thank you for blessing Josh and his family today. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks for it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, God bless you as we give today. Amen. Praise God. Well, remember to just bring those cards up. If there's somebody you need to forgive by faith, release them right now. Amen. And Josh is going to be up here. And if you like personal prayer for whatever reason, come and be prayed for before you go. And Maria, maybe Maria can come and join Josh. Can you? Maria Hughes in the back row. Can you come and join your husband? All right, she is. I didn't know she heard me. And so if you need prayer before you go, come be prayed for and just be blessed. And stay for fellowship if you can. And God bless. Amen.